Welcome to the Rain Report. I'm Half Holly, Case in NRP in Chicago. I hope you'll bear with me one more week of reruns. Yes, three in a row is highly unusual, let alone two or one. But between having to deal with my mom's having passed on a couple weeks ago, and my computer having been in the shop the past week, I'm just not ready. So, here's another Rain rerun. This one from 2005. The Rain Report for the week beginning Saturday, December 1, 2005, will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Rain Report. I'm Hap Holly, KCNRP in Chicago. If you're new to amateur radio, or have just returned after decades of inactivity, you may have found the HF bands challenging due to the proliferation of contests over the years, especially on the weekends. Rather than bemoaning the fact that contesters occupy a major amount of bandwidth on the weekends, why not get involved? Why not jump in with both feet? Or just one if you're shy? To get you headed in the right direction, here's a perennial voice on the Rain Report, veteran Vermont contester Mitch Stern, W1SJ.
Contests get some bad rap because we kind of all show up at the same time and kind of take a lot of bandwidth. And then we go away for a few weeks, so you don't hear us at all. That's the way a lot of us operate. The radio is off for months at a time, and then contest season comes on Friday, blow the dust off of it. It runs 24 hours straight, and then Sunday night, Monday morning, it goes off, boom, that's it. It sits idle for a while. That's what we're about. Not too many rag chews in between. So the goal is pretty simple. You contact the most number of stations in the most number of defined areas, whether those areas be states or countries or counties or grid squares, in a certain time limit, whether it's 24 or 48 hours or something shorter. Kind of like collecting stamps, only you got a time limit. Now here's the kicker though, you got to exchange information. And now in the advent of computer logging, that information is very carefully checked. And if it's wrong, the contact gets erased. And boy, does that hurt, because you struggle mightily to get that contact in the log, and the log checker just wiped it right out. Not only just hearing the guy, but also getting that information written down properly. Each contest has a specific set of rules. There's VHF, UHF, HF contests, whatever, and it's just an array of different things to pick and choose from. So here are the types. HF contacts. Now, of course, if you're a technician, HF is kind of out of your realm unless you actually help a multi-op and they have higher class operators there. VHF contests are nice in that technicians can be involved in it, and it's a lot low-key. It depends on where you're operating from. I operate from a big mountain in Vermont. It sounds like 20 meters up there on 2 meters. It's a mob scene. What mode do you like to operate? Phone, CW, mixed, or other modes? You know, they have PSK31 contests, for example. I've always been a phone operator. It was funny. I never liked CW. I upgraded. I did the stuff, and that was it. I had no use for CW. And then one day I had the bright idea, hey, let me put Vermont out there on CW. And there I was with my 13 words a minute copying ability at best, trying to run with the big dogs doing 25 and higher. After a while, I kind of learned how to get through it to the point where I can be a very good operator on CW. It's not my mode of choice, but I'm comfortable enough at it. Now, some contests like the CQ Worldwide and the RLDX or DX contests where you're talking to people all over the world, and usually big antennas are the rule. Stateside contests are interesting in that you don't really need a big antenna to do well in a stateside contest. That's where I go. I have my little tri-bander, my dipoles and whatever, and I can sit and kind of gun down anyone in those contests. Okay, I don't need the big horsepower there. It's more strategy and trying to figure out how to just pack more contacts in the log. And then these come in all sorts of lengths. Now, if you're a real masochist, you got the long 48-hour contests with no time offs. You start Friday night at 7, you end Sunday night at 7. Well, when do I sleep? Well, if you want to be competitive, you really don't do very much of that. It's not for everyone. I tend to like the 24-hour contest where I can psych myself up for 24 hours and just go whatever I need to do and the heck with everything else. And then when it's all over, I can deal with things like sleep or work and family. And they got shorter ones. They got 12-hour contests. They got these things called sprints, which are only 4 hours. If you have limited time, that may be the thing for you. So some of the basics, many different ways to participate. It really helps to kind of have a goal. going into it. What is it you want to accomplish here? Just not make contacts. The goal is important because in a contest, in any event, it's going to be highs and lows. You're going to get a run there and you're going to work a lot of people. And then you're going to hit a time when it's going to be just very hard to talk to anyone, or equipment's going to break down, or something's going to happen. What do you do then? If you have that goal, that'll help you, because a lot of times there's a little voice in the back of your head saying, quit. This is stupid. Nobody normal does this. Marathoners, I understand, go through the same problem. Operating 24 hours like we do, they run 26 miles. Right around 20 miles, that little voice says, what the heck are you doing? And usually around 18 hours in a contest, I start getting those voices and have to filter that out and say, I got a goal. And last year when I operated, I had some big, major equipment problems, and everything was just going wrong, and it looked like I wasn't going to win the thing. I said, why bother? It's just a waste of time. And I had to just put that aside and says, I got a goal. Same thing if you're operating in a public service event where things are going wrong and you just want to throw your hands up and quit. You got a goal. You got to sit there and operate so many hours. So it's really important to have that set up ahead of time. You need that stick-to-itiveness so that you don't quit. That's just a really big thing, is that you're going to see it to the end and let the result, you know. And I ended up winning that contest. I said, there's no way I'm going to win it. You know, I was writing my concession speech as I was operating the whole thing. I ended up pulling it out in the last hour. I mean, it was amazing. And it was just a matter of just really gritting my teeth and saying, okay, I'm going to do this no matter what. So your attitude is everything. You come in there, you have to come to that contest thinking that you're the loudest thing on the band. Not necessarily the truth, particularly if you're running 100 watts to a wire hanging 6 feet off the ground, but if you think you're strong, you may fake a lot of people out into believing it. If your attitude is, I'm going to do this and finish it and this is going to be great, it will. And you know, Matt, no matter how bad the contest is, almost always, you know, at the end you feel beaten, tired and the whole thing. The next day you can't wait a year for the next one. How many have ever felt that in field day? You're tired and everything, and then the next day, oh, let's do this again in a year, right? It's like, I can't wait. One of the important things is making sure you have the right strategy. And again, trust me, if you're the 100 watts to a dipole group, you're not going to win the contest likely. Kind of like entering a NASCAR race with a Plymouth Horizon. It's just, you know, there's a chance, but don't think it's going to happen. So in that case, you know, you want to work around the edges, you know, pick a goal of working so many contacts, so many states, whatever, or just surviving without killing yourself or family members, whatever it is. So some of the things you do in a contest, we pick a frequency, hopefully a clear one, and call CQ. Now this works if you have a good signal or if the conditions are favorable to you. Now, there are times I have good signals, and there are other times when the condition just turns away from the East Coast and I can't buy a contact. So you have to kind of make that choice. So you call CQ on one frequency, you have a good signal, and they come back to you. And if you get a lot of people to call you, you get a lot of customers, and as fast as you can get them in the log and get their report to them, that's how fast you can work them. How fast? I once topped, I think, 3 a minute, 180 an hour. This is not from a rare DX, this is just from Vermont. Okay, so it usually results in the best rates, but not always. Now, the other method is called search and pounce, or you'll see it abbreviated S&P. When CQing don't work, you got to search and pounce. You tune up the band, you find someone calling CQ, you answer them. So you either do it when the CQing don't work, or you may want to do it because you want to look for other rare states, countries, etc. Because if guys in rare places usually don't search and pounce, they sit in one place. So you have to seek them out. So you search the band looking for people. Some people like to tune up the band. Some people tune down the band. It doesn't really matter. Everyone has their own way of doing it.
You're listening to the thoughts of veteran Vermont contester Mitch Stern, W1SJ. We'll be right back. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for rain audio.
Another thing that's important in a contest is timing. When a station goes back to you, you call somebody and they go back to you, you have to say something immediately because that station knows that you're going back to them based on the timing. If you pause 5 seconds, they're going to believe you're not going back and they're going to call CQ again or go back to someone else. I've seen rookies do this and somebody goes back to them and they freeze. They literally lock up. If that happens, if you don't know what to say, give your call sign again. but say something. If you don't say anything, you put everyone in limbo. And then what happens is nobody knows who to go. Nobody knows to transmit, stand still, and people double with each other, and it just becomes chaotic. So that timing is important. And I work contests all the time. I go back to somebody, no answer. Go back to them, no answer. And then I blow them off. Okay, well, they went away, whatever. Then I call CQ, and then they call me again. And I go back to him, no answer. I don't know, either this guy's having major problems or he's just trying to get into my head here because he keeps doing this. And what happens is he just doesn't know what to say. You know, he doesn't have the sign up on the wall of the shack say, here's the report I'm supposed to give. I get a lot of people calling me and, you know, we have the short call signs, the 1x2 call signs for extras and the 2x1s and the special event 1x1s. Well, I work a lot of guys with 2x0 call signs. Quebec Whiskey. Well, wait a minute. I know there's got to be a number in there. And they won't give it. You know, they just give you the two letters. And I have to kind of like ask them, you know, 30 questions. Well, is there a two in there? Is it a one? If you do that, don't do that.
If you're on a net where they ask you to do that,
well, follow their rules, but don't ever do that because you're hurting your chances. Trust me, when I have 10 people calling me, people who give full call signs phonetically will get through quicker than the ones giving a couple of letters. It's just really confusing. And then later in a contest, I use that whole call sign to check to see if I've already talked to them already once. If I just type two letters in, it's only a guess. And some stations in Europe, they give two letters not necessarily in their call sign. You like that for a switch. It's like, I totally confused then. I don't know who I'm talking to. In a contest or in any operating situation, ignore anything that doesn't produce results. Somebody does something, makes you mad, and you want to yell and scream at them. Unless you get points for yelling and screaming, don't do it. It's just wasting time and energy. And believe me, there's guys I want to reach right through the radio and wring their neck. I don't get points for that, so I don't bother. You know, I just grit my teeth and move on. And the same thing in a net or some sort of a public service event where somebody does something and you literally want to shoot them on sight. I operate with net control, and usually we have a second net control. And when I get that way, I just say, you take it. I put the headphones down and walk away, go for a walk for 5 minutes and just clear my head because you don't want that on the air. It doesn't make us look good, for starters. And again, it's not productive. Particularly when the guy, you've been on a frequency for 3-4 hours, and the guy says, you're going to have to move because we have our net here. And you try and be polite, says, well, I don't think so. And, you know, and then they try kind of like forcing you off or whatever. You know, you just work through it and hope for the best. So you want to work out the station bugs before the contest. The keyer doesn't work quite right, or when you're on 15 meters, it reboots the computer, or the antenna doesn't load on 10 meters, and you know these things going into the contest. You don't want to do that. You want to make sure this stuff is fixed. And I say this because I do this every year. I put aside, yeah, I got to fix that. And then I always turn the radio on. Oh, yeah, 15 meters is still a problem. I got to fix this stupid thing. Oh, man, that stinks. You really want to literally make a list. You have a list of problems that you have. And so that way I don't forget for the next time. Analyze your efforts after the contest. This is really important. We do a big thing in field day. Everything that went right, everything that went wrong, and I put it in the computer and then we review it so that we don't repeat the same stupid problems year after year. And believe me, if you don't do that, you're guaranteed to repeat the same problems. You look at what hours you did best, what bands work for you, you know, what combinations of situation. It's fun to do it, you know, Monday morning quarterback. Well, if I would have done this differently and that differently, I would have won. Well, you don't know. Maybe you would have, maybe you wouldn't have. You want to learn how to be a good operator? Go to field day, find the good operators and watch them for a couple hours. You become a good operator doing that. More contest skills. Well, knowing how to choose the right strategy, knowing how to sound loud. You know, if you sound like this, you know, if you sound like you know what you're doing, people are going to get it. Where if you kind of like whisper like this, you know, and you're looking around, people are going to realize, oh, he's a weak guy. I'm not going to work him. Know how to hear the weak ones. I get all these QRP. I like picking on QRP guys. A lot of my friends are QRPers. They, oh, I worked all these guys. He says, no, you didn't work nothing. I did the work. I had to pull your PW little signal out of the noise so I can hear you. You got to hear me, you know, pinning the S meter, but you got to deal with it. I mean, you get a point for working them, so work them and dig them out of the noise. Know what to do when conditions stink. Sometimes going to bed is appropriate. Switching bands, not getting frustrated. That's really important. You know, it's like, okay, this didn't work, try this. That didn't work, try the next thing. You know, you go down all the different things when you've tried everything and nothing works all that well. Well, that's it. You tried your best. Know what to do when the equipment dies. So when the equipment dies, make sure you have another piece of equipment to roll right in there. I'm just going to quickly go over the contesting equipment. For most of you, you have just a regular radio, whatever, but you really want to put up the best station you can. If you minimize on your station, it's going to be harder for you. The bigger the antenna, the louder you're going to be. And the trick in winning a contest is being louder to more places. A functional shack is important. If you have to kind of reach across the room to turn the rotor, that's not going to work. In my shack, my packet computer is in the other room, so when I want to see the packet spots, I got to go in the other room. I don't do very much packet spots, but that was a problem for me. I had to fix one year. You want to test everything ahead of time. Make sure there's no RFI, i.e. into the computer and out of the computer, because that's going to like drive you nuts. Okay, I'm going to skip the contest software thing. Basically, with software, it doesn't matter. As long as you practice with it a lot before the event. Don't break in a new piece of software without going through it and learning all its quirks.
Veteran Vermont contester Mitch Stern, W1SJ, excerpted from his 2005 Dayton Hamvention presentation. The Rain Report is copyright 2005 Rain. All rights are reserved. I'm Hap Holly, KCNRP in Chicago.